Welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have you at the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am amazed that people, I mean, y'all don't have the problem, but I'm amazed at people that go to football games whenever it's freezing cold, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I just can't believe, you know, that they go out there in that cold weather and sit out there for 3 or 4 hours, you know, and all kinds of crazy things just to watch somebody throw a little ball around over the field. That's amazing to me how we do that. It's a gladiators. It is amazing. But anyway, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back soon. So I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. Jesus, are you prepared for the Lord coming down from heaven with a shout? With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, you know, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and there we shall ever be with the Lord in the air. You know, are we ready for that? Well, there's some things going to happen before. And in fact, I don't know, the lady that had the acupuncture, is she here today? I don't know if she's not here. If she's not here, I'm just going to tell just a little bit of her story. Was it last week? Yeah, last Sunday. She came up for prayer, just like we have, you know, at the end of every service, we have a prayer time between all of us and our prayer warriors, you know, and each one of you or whatever. Since we have learned that sin and sickness are directly related, I mean, I realize that's not a very popular subject, but it's true. It doesn't make any difference what you think. You know, God made the system. And since I've come up with it, I didn't come up with it, I found it in the Word of God. That's where I found it. But it's not something I came up with. But since I've learned this, I've seen, in the last 30 years, I've seen thousands, literally thousands of people get healed that stand on God's Word. So. But anyway, this precious lady came up, and she'd had pain in her body for over 20 years. I thought about you, Paula. You know, when you said you had pain, excruciating pain in your life for over 20 years, too. Yes, well, that's the way this girl, she had excruciating pain in her body for over 20 years. And she was a nurse, you know, so isn't it amazing, you know, that... You can have all this knowledge and wisdom to be a nurse, and you can do a lot of things and help a lot of people, but there's only one that can heal you.
Amen.
And it's Jesus. So anyway, when she came up and we talked to her, you know that if you've ever been up here, you know that whether you're talking to me and Cheryl or any one of the other team players on this, that we always try to find the root of the problem. You know, why are you like this? You know, are you down with a stroke because you had bitterness and unforgiveness? Well, yeah, I hate my boyfriend I'm living with. You know, like we heard the testimony last Sunday, right? I'm a Christian. I've been to the beer joint, you know, or the whiskey house to get whiskey, and I spent all my money buying booze so I can have something to drink, and I'm a Christian. And I'm having, do you see anything wrong with this picture? I mean, too many Christians do this. So when this man, Gary, last week asked the lady, did she have any bitterness toward anyone? She said, I hate my boyfriend. Oh, the one I'm living with that I'm not married to. And you're a Christian?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a Christian. So she's had a stroke. I mean, a bad stroke, and she's in excruciating pain. And she, as a Christian, has no idea that it's a demon sent from God to torment her physical body because of her sin. And so he tells her, said, ma'am, if you will just repent, you know, I'll pray for you and God will be merciful to you and heal you. So he told her, said, you know, you have to forgive this man and you have to stop living with this man. And so she agreed to move out. I don't think people really believe that what they do now is fixing to happen. But anyway, she was in such excruciating pain. She was willing to do anything. You know, do you know that whenever something gets a hold of you and twists you, you know, you might say, I ain't going to do it. But then in a little while, you're on your face on the floor with the guy standing in your back, pulling up on your arms. Eventually, you're going to do something. You know, everybody's got a breaking point, right? Now, it may be bones breaking point, but, you know, it's sad that we have to go through those kind of things. But this woman was going through, that had been into the liquor joint, that was living with a man out of wedlock, that had the stroke, that couldn't hardly walk. It's sad, isn't it, Paula?
It's sad.
It really is sad, and she had no idea. And so this guy, he had been to seminary, he had been to Rhema Bible School, and then he said he started listening to my stuff, and that was his problem. When he started listening to my stuff, because I started teaching that sin and sickness are directly related. He had never heard that before. I mean, in all those schools, he had never heard that. So he learned that, hey, this looks like it'll work. And so he said, I used to get 1 out of 50 healed. And now then he says that I find the sins. He said, I nearly have 100% healing rate. Now, is that something? So he got that woman to repent of her sin of being bitter and hatred toward. He said, ma'am, it clearly says there, Mark 11:23, clearly says before we pray or after we pray, if you have aught or bitterness or unforgiveness is what that means against any, you have to forgive. And she said, I forgive. And he touched her with them all and prayed for her. And those of you that were here remember that woman jumped up out of that car, started running around all over the parking lot. She was totally healed of a stroke. Healed of a stroke. You remember she's running out by the street, by the curb to the car, tapping the car saying, I've been healed by Jesus. What kind of an idiot would do something like that? Only one that's been healed, right? And was she an idiot? She was. Because any Christian that'll live with somebody out of wedlock, that'll get a gross unforgiveness towards somebody, they're an idiot. Now, do they have to stay an idiot?
No.
My dad had a third grade education when I was growing up. And if there was something that happened and I didn't know about it, when we'd finally get it figured out and get it solved, I said, Dad, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. He said, son, it's not a disgrace to be a dummy, it's just a disgrace to stay that way. He said, I only went to the third grade, but he said, I learned there's things you gotta learn. And don't just because you didn't go to school think you can't learn. You can learn. And so anyway, it's not a disgrace to be a dummy, it's just a disgrace to stay a dummy, you know? So we can change. We don't have to stay where we are. But anyway, that was quite a testimony. And then after the church last Sunday, Cheryl and I was up here, and this one young lady came up, and she had had this excruciating pain in her body for 20 years. And we found her sin. We got her to repent of the sin. And she's a nurse with all these acupuncture needles in her back right now. When she was standing right here, she had those needles in her back. I told her, I said, ma'am, I don't believe God wants those needles in your back. Now that you've repented of your sin, I want you to go into the bathroom and take your blouse off. And I want you to, if you have to have help, whatever, but get somebody to help you. She said, oh, I can get them out. I said, well, take those needles out and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. She contacted us a few days later, and she said, Pastor, the minute that I went into the bathroom there after I left you and Cheryl, and I took those needles out of my back, and I thanked the Lord for healing me. She said, for the first time in 20 years, I was totally free of pain. She waited all week to call us because she loved to see the no pain. Isn't that wonderful, Gracie? We don't like pain, do we, girl? We hate pain. Well, I hate pain. Well, let me tell you how to not have any. Walk in love. Is that true? Walk in love. Now then, if you're going to get into bitterness and unforgiveness, if you're not going to obey God's word, then you're going to have pain and suffering, and it's going to happen. Because God is going to use that pain and suffering to change the way you do business. Now, the quicker you learn it, the better it works. Scott, I don't like pain. Do you?
No.
Not at all. I'd much rather be an obedient son and do what he says. Now, you know, so some people will say, Pastor, don't you sin? Boy, let me tell you, I try not to. I certainly try not to. And let me tell you what, I give you this privilege. You see me do something you know is a sin, you come jump right on the middle of me. You come tell me, Pastor, I saw you do this and that sin. I guarantee I will repent right there. I do not want to walk in any kind of sin. I want to, how much sin do I want to die to? All of it. That's all sin. I want to die to all sin. In fact, does the scripture in Romans, is he very clear? We're supposed to die to sin. And then he says, if you die to sin, how in can a dead man sin? Is it possible for a dead man to sin? No. So see, when you're baptized, did I do a good job? How many of you people in here have been baptized in this church? Okay, some of you have, not very many of you, but how many of you have been baptized? Okay, you all been baptized somewhere. When you were baptized, you were drowned. According to Scripture, is that right? When you went, you died, you were buried, and then you were raised to walk in newness of life, is that right? So you died when you were baptized. Now then, if you come up out of that water and you walked out of that room and you started getting mad at somebody or getting into sin, you needed to come back and let them dunk you again. Because you wasn't held under long enough. I mean, when you're drowned, you're supposed to die, right? And so if you really died, there ain't supposed to be no sin in a dead man. Because Paul says, how in can a dead man sin? You have died to sin. Is that what he said, Tony?
Right.
So me and you are supposed to be dead to sin, right?
Right.
So when somebody does something or if we don't like it, we should just say, okay, I'm dead to that sin. I don't do that no more. And instead of doing like we used to, you know, I had a friend of mine the other day, he said somebody did something he didn't like, and he said, Thurman, now I'm going to tell you what I did, but this was back before I wasn't too close to Jesus. You know what that means?
Yeah.
He punched him out. He said something he didn't like and bam, bop, punched him right in the nose. And I said, well, you know you ain't supposed to do that. He said, that's when I wasn't very close to Jesus. So he said, but I don't do that anymore. But do you know a few Christians that's not too close to Jesus?
Yes,
unfortunately, they are. But there's some things I want us to today, as we think about this wonderful Jesus that we serve, and what he's going to do, I want us to talk a little bit. We're going to read some scripture from Joel chapter 2. And we're going to read that, and I want us to think about this and meditate on this a minute. And I want you to realize as we go through this, are you ready for what's coming? Because according to the scripture, it's going to happen. If it's written in the book, it's going to happen. Is that right? So just like Scott and me, we were reading the other day. We were reading in Hebrews 2, 2. And what do you remember what that said, Scott? Hebrews 2, 2, about
every sin,
every disobedience to the law is judged, right?
Yeah.
When he read that, he looked and he said, Pastor, if every act of disobedience to the law is judged. Now, maybe I didn't quote that just exactly right, but does it say something like that, Scott? I'm really, really close? Well, let's let Scott look that up right quick, and then we'll have somebody put Hebrews 2:2 on the board for the rest of you so you can look at it and see.
angels were steadfast in every transgression and disobedience,
received a just recompense of reward.
I mean, just now read that again. Talk about the angel part there.
For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding in every transgression.
Wait a minute. If the message spoken by angels was legally binding. Is that what it said? Then read on, Scott.
And every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment or just recompense of reward.
You know, when you read that, sometimes you don't really understand what the word says, and you just kind of read that and just read over it. It doesn't mean what it says, Thurman. You know, God's a loving, merciful God. He would never judge me for doing something wrong. But this said even angels were held accountable. Is that what that said?
Yes, it does.
Even the angels, when they said something, God held even the angels accountable for every word. Now read that one more time, Scott, that whole thing, that whole, okay, from the very beginning.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward.
Read on a little further.
How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed?
Okay, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take that part and throw it all away. I don't like that part, do you? Is that what that said, Carrie? And how many disobedient acts of the law do we... surely he wouldn't. A merciful God wouldn't judge me for every one. But he said he would, didn't he? You know when we look at this, we never put the two together that because I did something wrong, I'm being disciplined. So I suffered with fibromyalgia in my body for 20 years. But when you finally got the sin taken care of and got prayed for in faith, what happened to all that pain?
It's gone.
It's gone. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
You know, this merciful God that we serve. And he is merciful, is he not?
He is, absolutely.
Yeah. He gives us opportunities to repent. You know, I can just see it now. Whenever I do something wrong, if I do something wrong, I can just hear the Lord saying, send the Holy Spirit to remind Thurman he needs to not do that. Is that being called being led by the Spirit? In other words, the Spirit of the living God is telling you, don't do that. In other words, Paula, don't get mad at those people for doing that. Be loving and kind and sweet. You know what we want to do? We forget that we're Christians, and we want to reach up and grab them by the nape of the neck.
Absolutely.
Not anymore. Huh? You used to, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Let me tell you what. I'm going to challenge every one of you in this room just for this one week. You keep in your mind remembering that every act of disobedience to the law is going to be binding. And if every act of disobedience through angels was judged, am I saying something that he didn't say? Every act of disobedience that an angel committed was judged. Is that what he said? So then read that part one more time there, Scott, about if what angels did was binding, what did he say after that?
Every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment or recompense of reward.
How many? One more time?
Every.
Why is it that I can read over that so many times and not realize that it's saying what it says? Because, you know, let's just say I'm about a halfway intelligent individual, kind of like you are. I believe all of us have got some intelligence in here. And if we really thought God was God, And he really meant what he said, Miss Peggy. We wouldn't drink them Dr. Peppers, would we? Now, some of y'all know the story and some of you don't, see. But because of one word that that woman said to me one day in her store years ago, as much as I love Dr. Peppers, I listened to what that woman said. Now, she told me that, Thurman, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And do you know that drinking that Dr. Pepper, you're defiling your temple, and that it takes, I forget how many, 28 or 30, whatever it was, glasses of water, 8-ounce glasses of water, to bring your pH back to normal in your body. You're defiling your temple with that. And this is just a woman friend of mine, and she told me that, and I listened to that knowing she's much smarter than me, because when I look at her and what she looks like at her age and how healthy she is, I thought, this woman knows something I don't know. And so that day, I never drank another Dr. Pepper, Miss Peggy. I've never drank another one, but I heard something that I did not know, but yet had been there forever. And now then, you're hearing something. Some of you have never heard Hebrews 2. Some of you have never read Hebrews 2. And those of you that read it didn't believe what it said. So I'm going to ask Scott to read it one more time, the whole thing. Scott, what does it say?
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward.
Read on.
How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?
So what are you going to get away with according to that? Why is there so many things in the Bible that says stuff like this and we don't believe it? Why? Mary. Did I stretch that any at all?
No.
Is that what it said?
Yes. I don't know why we do that.
Isn't that amazing? If what angels said, if they were held to it, how much more are you going to be held responsible for every act of disobedience that you do? So now then, whenever somebody starts to get angry with you, or you start to get angry with them, it might make it a little easier to kind of cool it. Right, Franz? Because if you thought there was going to be a judgment that'd come upon you, if you might get a spanking from God for not obeying him and doing what he said, it might change the way we do things, right?
I think we do.
I know we do. I know we change. But, you know, one day I read that to Scott. The reason I've asked him to read that over and over, me and him was talking, and I had read that, and I said, Scott, I said, this is an amazing statement. And I had him read that, and he read it. He said, Pastor, I've read that many times, and that has never soaked in on me. He said, I never got it till today. But he said, today, that's become a revelation to me. It does say that, doesn't it, Scott?
Very clear.
And very clear. And now the more you read it, the clearer it gets, right?
Yes.
Wow. So anyway, there's some wonderful things that's going to happen, and there's going to be some devastating things that are going to happen. If every act of disobedience is going to be judged, and is that what it said?
Yes.
Then if the Lord were to come back in the heavens, and the rapture of the church were to take place, and that's going to happen too, because it's written in God's word, is that right? And the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's over in 1 Thessalonians where we was at last week. We got right to that, and then we quit right there. But he said that I'm coming again. I'm going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which are alive and remain at that time shall be caught up to be with the Lord. There we shall forever be with the Lord. But between now and that day, whenever that comes, if all these statements that Scott just read over there is true, and they got to be because they're in God's word, And all those things have got to come to pass. So the people that are here on this earth right now, which includes a lot of Christians, a lot of us are sinning. Is that right? You know, the reason I throw Gary's testimony in there from last week or week before last is because that woman, can you imagine a woman in such excruciating pain that she can't walk, and she's living with her boyfriend, and she's gone into the liquor joint to buy liquor and spent all of her money. Now, probably didn't give any of it to the Lord. I may be judging there, but usually people that go to the liquor joint and spend all their money for liquor, they don't go to church very much or tithe very well as a rule, but I may be wrong. She might have been a great tither. All I got to say is God wasn't too pleased with her, was he? Did she fit this criteria of being judged? She was one of them, wasn't she, Scott?
Yes.
Yes, no two ways about it. She was one of them. Are you ready? You know, there's going to be a lot of people who's going to be thinking they're ready. And when he comes, if you're in that bitterness and unforgiveness and you've had that stroke and you got that screaming problem that she had, there might not be time to get God to forgive you. And, you know that's going to be scary. If the Lord comes down from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and he's going to say, okay, my children, it's time for you to come home. And he looks over here at this one and this one and this one and that one, and he says, oh, and y'all got unforgiveness. Oh, you can just come out of the liquor store. You know, and you're screaming pain. But, you know, yeah, I'm a merciful God. But you got aught against your boyfriend, and you're living with a man. And I said in my word, those that are committing adultery shall not enter the kingdom of God. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Now, I don't think there's anybody in the world good enough for me to live with and to have sex with that's going to make me miss heaven. You can forget that. There ain't nothing in the world good enough for that. But just think, can you imagine a bunch of Christians, and if the rapture were to occur right now, and if it were to say, boom, and all of a sudden there's still some of us left here, that would be awful.
Yes.
I don't want to be one of them, do you?
No.
I know what it says about what happens to those. But I don't want to be one of those that's left not only because of any other sin, but I don't want to have bitterness, unforgiveness, or nothing else in my heart, do you?
No.
Because according to his word, if you die or he comes again, and he catches away those, and there's going to be those that are still got bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. He says, you ain't going. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So would it make it a whole lot easier to say, hey, honey, why don't we get married?
Yes.
You know, and God's okay with that, isn't he? Once we repent and get married, say, hey, now then we treat each other with love and respect as man and wife, and then no problems. But that's God's way, right? Wow. But anyway, let's see what he says here in Joel 2. Well, first of all, this is near this scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? So you're living in sin and you think you're going to escape. But the Lord says, you ain't going to make it. How shall we escape? Wow. Is that a scary set of verses?
Yeah.
You know, that if that won't make you go out as you believe today or right now, sitting in your seat saying, Lord, I repent. I repent. If I got aught against any, Lord, I forgive him or I forgive her, you know, Lord. I'm going from this day forward, Lord, I'm really going to be a good husband. I don't care how mean my wife gets. I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to love her. It ain't worth going to hell for. It really not. You know, it's really not. Isn't it a whole lot easier to do it God's way? You know, so, you know, I've learned it takes two to tangle. You know, so if as long as one of you don't get upset, the other one, they can fuss and scream and do everything they want to. But if you don't get upset with them, it'll go away in a little while. There's no problem. You don't have to go there. It's when two of you get into a scrap And you, neither one of you will forgive the other one. Instead of doing like the Lord says, when the Lord says, if necessary, forgive each one of you 490 times a day, if necessary. Franz, that's a bunch, isn't it? But that's what he said, wasn't it? 490 times a day. Okay, let's go to Joel 2. Joel chapter 2. Okay. Okay, sure. Would you read first verse there? Give her the
blow
mic.
Ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
Wait a minute now. I thought I didn't like some of those other verses a while ago. I ain't too sure I like that one either. Why don't we skip over that one?
Hello.
See, that's the thing. You can't skip over any of them. It's all in there, right? You know, just think that this terrible day of the Lord that's coming. Now then, if you're okay with God and you've got everything in order, you know you're a son, like Dave keeps telling us, you know, that we're sons and daughters. We are. And as sons and daughters, we know we have no bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred. We have forgiven everybody from our heart. Is that what he said? And we're not living in any kind of numbers in Galatians and Ephesians. He lays out the bad thing. If you're a drunkard, you know, you're a pervert, you're a homosexual, you know, all the different things he says there. He says, you ain't going to heaven if you're living like that. Yeah, I'm a gracious and merciful God, but you ain't coming. Is that what he said? Yeah, so that's scary. That's just like I had a boy the other day called me and said, Pastor, I want you to know I've heard one of your teachings on a homosexual. And he said, I used to be a homosexual. But he said, after listening to one of your teachings, he said, I ain't going to hell for none of them. He said, I found out I could repent and I could stop that nonsense. He said, I never thought I could till I heard you teach. And he said, you said, I have a choice. I can either choose to go to heaven or I can choose to go to hell. If I make Jesus Christ Lord of my life, I have the power within me to stop sinning. So he said, I thought, I've been told I can't do this. I was born like this. I can't change. But he said, when you said I'm going to go to hell, he said, I found out I could change.
That's right.
Now then, if that boy can change, how many of the rest of them can change?
Oh.
That's right. They can all change. He is no exception to the rule. But he said, you have changed my life forever. I will never, ever go back into the homosexual world. Never, ever. I'm through with that nonsense. Because is there any of those homosexual partners he had, reckon any of them be worth going to hell for? I don't think so. I tell you what, I guarantee you, I ain't going to catch me in that place. I mean, if y'all don't know, hell is a place called the Lake of Fire. And I don't know, I can just go in there in the kitchen and put a little butter in that skillet and put that fire on under it and just let it start simmering a little, you know, so here it starts crackling. Y'all heard that?
Yes.
So that's what you want to say. I wonder if that's hot. Yeah, let me put my finger over in there to see if it's doing that. Jackie, you know it's hot enough to cook something. Don't you? You don't have to put your finger in it. Because we know what happens when we put our finger in it. It takes the skin off. But just think, there's going to be people that's going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And some of them think they're okay. But if you're living in any kind of sin, if you're doing what he says, you'd better make sure that you can do exactly what that young boy said. He said, I found out I could repent of sin and I didn't have to sin no more, so I don't have to be a homosexual. That means you don't have to be an adulterer. You can do anything with God's help that you want to do. If you want to sin, you can go sin, but it'll bring forth death. If you want to walk in love, then it'll bring forth life. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy temple. Blow, in other words, we have these horns up here. They blow them all the time. Blow those horns. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. In other words, sound the alarm. The Lord's coming. Let all the inhabitants of the lands tremble. I don't see none of us in here trembling much. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. The this day that we're reading about right here, do you realize this day could be only hours away? You know, with all the crazy things that's going on in the world, I mean, I was listening to Hal Lindsey the other night, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, if I've ever been a time in my life when it's right at the door, the fulfillment of all prophecy, he said, we are there. Now, that man's been studying prophecy how many years of his life? Probably all of his life, 50, 60 years. I think he's about 80-something years old, and he's still a healthy-looking young man. But he's been studying prophecy, and he's written some books, The Late Great Planet Earth and several other good books. But he's saying it's at the door. What if it is at the door? Let me tell you something. The other night, I don't even remember what me and Cheryl was doing. But we were doing something, and I did something. And I knocked something off or kicked something or something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, for a second, she fussed. You know, I mean, it wasn't much of a fuss, you know, it wasn't much, but she's still got these little trinkets that she likes. And so, you know, and I didn't mean to do it, you know, it's just one of those things. And she, for a second, she fussed, and then I said, honey, I don't even remember. See how important it was, right? She don't remember either. But anyway, I said, honey, I'm sorry. And I said, and remember, if the rapture were to occur tonight, it would make it. Is that right, Bill? If the rapture occurs tonight, if it was something that was worth $1 billion, you know, if it really had it there, it's not, it doesn't count for anything, does it, Mike? Yes, Bill.
Be here than at the Super Bowl if it came tonight.
Yeah.
I'd much, 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 much rather be here than at the Super Bowl. I could tell you for sure. But anyway, like I told Cheryl, I said, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do whatever it was. And I said, you know, if the rapture were to occur tonight or if the Lord were to come, whatever, I said, or, you know, said it wouldn't make any difference because it's going to be here. And I said, if it's not broke now, it will be in a little while. You know, because I guarantee you. Do y'all agree with me? I mean, can you see the people that's left over, the screaming and running through the place and everything else that's going on? Can you imagine the devastation if it ain't broke when the rapture occurs, when all of us that are here, of course, right now, we're all sitting right here in church. But, you know, at one time, I think it was Delta at one time. I believe it was Delta. But one of the airlines, they wouldn't let both pilots be Christians at the same time in the cockpit. Because somebody that was on the big staff downtown with Delta was a Christian, and they knew about the rapture. And they said if the rapture were to occur, then both pilots would be gone and the airplane would be pilotless. So it's going to crash and kill, and so we ain't going to let two Christians fly together, have a non-Christian and a Christian. And that way, that if the rapture comes, the Christian will be gone, and then the other guy can fly the airplane back, you know, and land it. And so, you know, and so, but now if this were to happen, if this week, going home this afternoon, say you're driving down the road going home, does that scripture we just read, Joel, say the Lord is coming?
Yeah, he's coming.
He's coming. We didn't read it over in 1 Thessalonians last week, but we got right to it where it said, and the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and amen. We're going to be caught up. That's going to be me and you. Now then, can you imagine driving down the road at 50, 60, or 70 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, you're gone? Can you imagine? That is going to happen. Is that right? And so if you're gone, who's going to pilot your car?
It's on its own.
Guarantee it's on its own. So there is no telling what's going to get broke or killed or destroyed or whatever. You talk about a judgment of God. There's going to be people that's going to get killed, that things are going to be tore up, their cars are going to be destroyed, their houses are going to be destroyed. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be airplanes falling out of the sky, you know, because there's many of those pilots up there. Many of those guys are, everybody in the cockpit is a Christian. And whenever that happens, they're all going to be gone. And so that airplane, if it's got 50 people, 100 people, or 300 people back here in the back. If they're the ones that are Christians, they ain't going to make no difference because they're going to be gone. Is that right, Tony? Yeah. If you're a Christian, you're flying in a jet, you say, well, don't have to worry about me because whenever the rapture comes, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Is that right? But those that are not Christians, what about them? And do you ever stop to think how many that might be? Y'all remember when Howard Pittman was here, he told us only 2.5% of the people that were dying were going to heaven. 2.5%. That was 50 out of 2,000. That's not very good odds. Wow. So anyway, the Lord is coming, and he's coming soon. And just like this scripture says here, we've got to make sure when he blows the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of there tremble. Let me tell you, those that are going to be left when that happens, when that horn sounds, let me tell you, it ain't going to be long till those people that are left are going to be trembling. They're going to be trembling, but guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in heaven with the Lord. You know, if you're prepared and you're ready, don't let this be a surprise. I mean, be looking for it. In fact, the scripture even says he's coming back for those that are looking for him. So are you looking for him? Yes. Don't say, well, I'm not ready yet. So if you ain't ready yet, you've been warned. You have been warned today. If you're not prepared, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's real simple, is it not?
Yes.
How difficult is it to make Jesus Lord of your life? This simple. Lord, I receive you. I call on the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving me in Jesus' name. Is that how simple it is, God? That simple. He sure didn't make it hard, did he? In fact, we know what is the simplest way. He says, to them that call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. Is that what he said? So that means if you don't know Jesus right now, all you got to do is just say, Jesus. Is that right? That's how easy it is. So you don't have to miss this. You don't have to be one of those that are left here standing on the mountains trembling saying, oh, what's going to happen to me? Because I'm telling you what, you ain't going to like it if you get left here. You're not going to like it at all. Wow. And when is this going to happen? We don't know. But we can tell you for sure it's going to happen. If he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain, for all the inhabitants of the earth shall tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is nigh at hand. Just in case you don't know, this wasn't written last week. How long ago was this written? At least a couple of thousand, 2,500 years ago, whatever, or 3,000 years ago or something. But this, he's trying to tell you, the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And he said this almost 3,000 years ago. Does that mean he's a whole lot closer today than he was when he wrote this?
Yeah.
Absolutely. At least 3,000 years closer, that's for sure. Wow, let's go to the next verse, verse 2.
A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations.
Wait a minute. Now, this is getting really scary. I'm glad I'm not going to be here when this happens. Aren't you? I'm certainly glad that me and Gerald will be riding our white stallion on the way to heaven. Isn't that a good thing to do?
Amen.
Just think, what if you were to wake up one day this week, or next month, you know, just what if you woke up one morning and you thought, hey, gee, my alarm went off and I know it's 7 o'clock. There's supposed to be some daylight out there, but I don't see any. So you get up and you go to the window, or you go to the door and you open the door and you look out and there's no sun shining. It's totally dark. What did we just read say that happened? What's coming upon the earth when this happens?
Day, darkness, and gloominess, dark, thick clouds.
Ooh. So you go to the door and you open the door and you look out and ain't nothing but dark, thick clouds. Yeah. Is that what that said, Miss Jackie? Dark, thick clouds. So you go call the radio station or something, you know, TV station or something and say, what happened to the weather? Y'all said it's going to be nice weather this week. What happened? What's all these thick black clouds that are out there? We don't know.
I won't be called.
Boy, she got a hold of that already, didn't she? She won't be calling. But there's a whole lot about to be checking that ain't going to be like you, that's for sure. They're going to be calling. But you ain't going to be calling, are you, girl? You're going to know what's going on because you're going to be riding your white stallion right beside me and Cheryl. We're going into the third heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. I mean, you know, we can laugh and have fun about this, and I think God planned for us to laugh and have fun about this, but we need to be serious in the fact that we need to make sure everybody we know, we have warned them. And of course, you know, you can call people and tell them, you know, that the Lord is coming and you need to get your life straightened up. And there's some of them that are going to laugh at you. They'll just laugh at you. I mean, I've been laughed at a lot of times. You know, but here's a scene the Lord showed me one time a long time ago. I'd rather be one of those that everybody laughs at and says, oh, there's that holy guy. You know, he's always talking about Jesus. You know, if you don't want to hear about God, don't go over and talk to her or him, you know, because that's all he knows. I'd rather be that guy that everybody makes fun of than to be standing there one day whenever the judgment seat of Christ occurs and Jesus is sitting on his throne and here we are sitting out here beside him and all of a sudden here comes Bob and he walks up to the throne and Jesus says, what did you do with my son? He said, well, I didn't do anything with him. He said, well, then you're going to go to outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and you'll be damned to hell forever. He said, but that guy Thurman right there beside you, I worked with him for 20 years of my life. How come he's over there with you? Well, because he knows me and my son. Thurman, you worked by my side for 20 years. You knew the answer. And in 20 years you worked beside me, you never told me about Jesus. If you'd only told me. Now because you didn't tell me, I'm going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Do you want to hear that? No. I'd much rather have them laugh at me here on earth. And look at this crazy guy. Every time you see this guy, all he's thinking about is Jesus. Yeah. I'd rather have them do anything, laugh at me, throw me down on the ground, stomp on me, do everything in the world. I don't want to be the guy that stands at the great white throne with Jesus and they say, but you knew and you didn't tell me. I want them to be the ones that says, you knew and you told me over and over and over and over and I wouldn't believe you. That's what we want to hear, isn't it, Andy? I don't want their blood on my hands. I don't want that. They can laugh at me. They can laugh at you all they want to. We don't care, do we?
No.
Yep. I remember one time years ago when I was the regional manager for a large corporation. And I talked to lead men all over the country for these different companies we did business with. And whenever they moved me to Sky Chef here at DFW Airport, one of the men that was the head man with the division that we were buying stuff from, one of them, he said, who's the head engineer? And one of the guys said, some guy named Thurman Scrivener. He said, Thurman Scrivener? I said, you don't know Thurman Scrivener? He says, no, never had any dealing with him. He said, do you know Jesus? He said, no. He said, you will be. He said, that's all that guy talked about. Said he knows Jesus. Said he knows his equipment, but he knows Jesus too. And said, I guarantee if you don't know Jesus, you will. Now, is that a good way to be known?
Oh, yeah.
I want them to laugh at me and say, yeah, he was the one. Yeah. But if you go to work over there, if you don't know Jesus, you will. He'll pray you in. Is that the way it's supposed to be, Mike?
Yeah.
That's what he called us to do, wasn't it, son? Yeah. Jesus, the Lord, called us to be about his business, to lead them into the kingdom. Right, Miss Jackie?
Yeah.
And therefore, we don't have to worry about saying where the darkness come from. Because we're going to be way above that darkness, are we? Yeah, on our way to heaven. We don't have to worry about that thick darkness. But let's look at that one more time. Look what he says is coming on the earth. He says, he tell us while ago to sound the alarm. Because a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. Wow. So what I'm trying to tell you that what if the rapture were to occur at a date past this? And that could be. There is that possibility. The rapture may not take place at the beginning of all this. It could be way into this. So I don't know for sure. So think about it like this. You're a Christian. You're walking in obedience to God's word. And one day, this next month or next week, maybe tomorrow, you wake up and all you can see is it's pitch black in your bedroom. And maybe you reach over and reach to turn a light on, and maybe it works and maybe it don't work. Maybe there's some kind of storm or something that has blown down all the light poles. You know, maybe there's been an earthquake. And maybe somewhere way away, you know. In fact, there is a scripture that talks about in all of this, there's going to be a time whenever there's going to be an earthquake and it's going to level every mountain. That's scary. So if you're still here, I suggest you really make sure you know Jesus. It might, if there was never a time in your life when you were not ashamed to talk about Jesus, this might be the time you find out you can talk about him. If there's no electricity. I mean, the thick darkness is enough to rattle your cage, right? You know, so let's just say that we don't get raptured out. Let's just say the rapture hadn't occurred yet. And so let's just say that this day of the Lord is coming. And the day of the rapture is another 2 years down the road. So we wake up this morning and there's thick darkness. What are you going to do? Especially if you might call the TV station in a case like that then, right? Or you might try to turn the TV on and it may work and it may not work. Because it all depends on what's going on. If we've just had a devastating earthquake or something. In fact, I happened to watch a little news last night, and I think it was in Mexico, but I'm not sure. Maybe somebody else saw it besides me. There was a mountain blew up somewhere that went up 13 or 15,000 feet in the air. Did anybody see that last night on the news? Nobody saw that, but I'm the only one, huh?
Yeah, there was a volcano.
Where was that, Bill? Oh, a volcano in Hawaii? I saw that somewhere last night, when I turned the TV on to watch the news, there was this big eruption. It said this thing erupted 13 to 17,000 feet in the air. I thought, wow, that's a pretty big explosion.
Yes.
Now then, what if it does that and blows down all the light poles and breaks generators and all kinds of stuff, and then you don't have any power? Well, I mean, I'm just kind of saying, what if all these things did happen? What are you going to do? Have you even thought about it? I mean, if Jesus says these things are going to happen, are they going to happen?
Yeah.
Now somebody said, well, I'm not ready for them to happen next week. Well, I'm not either. But I'm going to try to be ready. I want to make sure that I'm prepared. If they do happen next week, I want to be ready. Don't you, Paula?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to know what's going on. In other words, if somebody calls me, if let's say that I wake up next Monday or next week or a month from now or whatever, and total black, I can say, whoops. And what if, when I read about this, I think about what I heard that happened in Israel only last month. Did anybody hear about the trumpets that sounded in the mountains of Israel last month? You didn't hear that? You heard about it. Okay, so I got one. Anybody else hear it? Yeah, it was up in the clouds. Did you hear about it? You heard about it? Okay, so I'm not the only one. There's a few of us. But I heard that, and there was, and so I forget now who told me, but somebody, and maybe it's just because I'm a pastor that everybody tells me the good stuff. I don't know. But anyway, the guy that told me said, in the mountains of Israel, they heard the trumpets, these trumpets. You know, the shofar. They heard the shofars in the clouds. Now, did it say the Lord's sound alarm? Uh-huh. What do you think that alarm's going to be? The trumpet. That's right there. He's going to have angels blowing those things, and we're going to hear those. And they said they heard those all over Israel. They heard the shofar blowing all over Israel. And of course, when I'm hearing these things, then I'm reading the book of Joel and all the stuff, I thought, you know, Lord, we may be closer to this than we think. So I've got to make sure my people understand this might happen next week or next month or who knows. I just want you to be ready. If the rapture comes, hey, no problem. We're out of here anyway. Don't have to worry about turning the stove off. You know, if you can't, honey, I got to go back, turn the stove off. I'll be right back. No. If the rapture comes, you can forget the stove. It's done. It's over. There's a video on YouTube about those songs. Yeah, okay, you heard it. Yeah, because I did too, and I thought, man, this is cool. And so when you stop and think about, we just last, it was within a month ago or something, when we hear the trumpet sounding, and then we read it in the scripture, it says the sound of the trumpet. It's going to sound. It's going to warn those. Is that what he just got through telling us? He's going to warn us. And then we hear the trumpet. We hear the sound of the trumpet. So we've heard it. The trumpet has been here. I heard it. I mean, it was awesome to hear the sound. And if you haven't tried it, go look at YouTube and look that up. It was wonderful to hear the sounds of those trumpets in the atmosphere, you know, just blowing like angels were up there blowing those things. And it went on for hours. And then all of a sudden it quit. And then I happened to be reading this about the trumpet and about the sound, the alarm. I thought, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? You let me hear these trumpets. You let me hear the warning. You let me read the scripture where it says that the darkness is coming, a day of darkness and of the gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. All this is coming, and it's written right here in the book. Wow. What does the next verse say? Verse 3. Let's turn over to verse 3.
A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them.
Woo. It seems to get better. The further we go, the worse it gets. I would prefer that the rapture occur first, wouldn't you? I don't want to be one of these left behind with this thing. But it may not be true, and it may not be that's the way it's going to be. You may be left to fight the battle, but if you're an obedient son, God's going to take care of you. Now, I didn't think about it like this. Somebody says, but what if I get killed in all of this? Because does it sound like some kind of a battle scene that's going across there? Tony, when it says the land in front of them is like the Garden of Eden, and the land behind him looks like a war is taking place. Is that what it sounds like? That's not exactly where we want to be, right? No. But that may be where you are. He may have put you there for something. Who knows what he's going to put you there for? But if he puts you there, he puts you there to save souls and tell people about Jesus. If you're left, that's what you're going to be left for. You're not going to be left there to run and scream and hide. You're going to be left to do something good for Jesus. Do you understand this? You see this? Yes.
What scripture is it that said he did this, it would cover a multitude of sins? Does anybody know?
Yeah, the scripture that says love covers a multitude of sins? It would be a good idea to be as armed with the Word of God as you possibly can. That's for sure. You had a question? No? Amen. Well, I'm with you, brother. I mean, I think we ought to repent and ought to walk holy before God. We need to make sure that we're striving to walk clean and pure before the Master every second. Agreed?
Yes,
absolutely. Because, you know, this thing here says this is going to happen, does it not? A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burneth. In other words, this thing is going to be just like the Garden of Eden in the front of this thing, but those that are behind it, it's like that a war. It's like fighter planes have flown over, bombers have flown over, you know, and soldiers, tanks, you name it. Behind it, it's going to be totally devastated.
If a great earthquake had happened, there would be fire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, all I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if it's written in the book, it's going to happen. We all agree with that? So we don't know when it's going to happen, but all I can say is be ready. That's just like I'll never forget that night that Paul Crouch was. He had three different men on the set talking about the rapture. When they got through, he went off somewhere and prayed and said, Lord, you've got to tell me which one of these three men's right. What do I do? I've got to warn your people. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, this is all you got to tell them. Be ready. Be ready. Is that all I need to know, Mary? It don't make any difference when it happens. I just need Thurman Scrivener needs to be ready. Mary needs to be ready, right? That's the only thing we need to be ready, because when it happens, it's going to happen. Ain't nothing you can do to change it. Cheryl was praying the other day, asking the Lord to watch over and bless these different dignitaries and all kinds of stuff in the government and everything else. And the Lord just spoke to her and said, Cheryl, it's too late. Judgment has been set. What's going to happen is going to happen. So that doesn't mean you can't stop praying for the government. You need to keep praying for the government. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Pastor Thurman, a couple of years ago, I have to share this. My bed, I have a twin-size bed, and there's a large window that's right here, and my bed's right here. Sound asleep. I still can remember this feeling. And I heard this, sound asleep, and I heard this horrendous thunder. I mean, it shook everything. And so I thought, well, I'm going to look out the window and see it raining, because it's going to be pouring down my window. Pulled the curtain open. There was not a drop of rain anywhere. And as I looked, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak loudly in my spirit, and it said, this is the way it will be when my son returns. It'll be over.
Wow.
That's how fast it happened. It was gone. Yeah. It was over, and there was not a drop of rain.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'll remember that to my dying day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I'd like to share, if you can look at Luke chapter 21, verse 36.
Okay.
Which says this, watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
Praise God. Pray to be accounted worthy to escape it. It's coming.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He says, pray that you be counted worthy to escape
it.
The escape plan is Jesus.
And if you and me are sons of God, and we know we're sons of God, we're going to be worthy.
Amen.
We're going to be walking holy and pure because sons of God act like sons of God.
Amen.
We don't go out and live like heathens.
We're
your sons. Now, the heathen, they've got a problem.
They're going to go through it.
That's right, but not you and me.
We're going to go through
it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes, ma'am. What about?
Well, my husband Louise told me this morning when I talked to him about it ties in with this. There were 23 people that got saved this morning where he was but the Lord put the words in his mouth. But
praise
what
Lord.
Happened before that? An earthquake. He was in the earthquake last month. And anyway, my husband's been in, I don't know if you know the story about what's going on with me and my husband, but he's been in El Salvador almost 3 years. But anyway, I prayed for a man that would love the Lord more than me, and he's down there just talking about Jesus. And about a month ago, he was out in he lives in the way in a remote area, and there was an earthquake. He didn't know what it was at first. It was at midnight, and he was on this rock that was about a mile long. It was huge. It was like a mountain full of solid rock, and the rock started to move, and he heard the sound down like many bones breaking. It was an earthquake, but it was moving the rock. And he heard the screams in the villages of the women. And you know, he jumped down and started praising God. He just started praising the power. He said, Lord, I'll never doubt you again. And anyway, this morning, and this truck's been sitting in San Salvador trying to get it registered. And there's all these obstacles. And he's spent all his money, and I spent all my money. But he had to take a bus back yesterday. It takes probably a whole day to take a bus back. He had no sleep. And he was so disappointed this morning because he thought this truck is his livelihood. And anyway, he was so disappointed, and he told me, he called me this morning, he said, I don't have any words, and I was at the campaign. They call them campaigns, their services. And he said he sounded so dejected. And I said, well, we'll just pray and you know, just trust God in this about the truck. And I called him back later, and he said, Barbara, he said, I had no words. I said, the Lord would just have to give me all the words. And he said, and he did. And I was reading the Bible in Ephesus about Paul and how Paul spoke to the people and saying, and they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. He said, get rid of your idols and trust Jesus. Just worship Jesus only and nobody else, just Jesus. And you know, just throw out your idols. And he was 250 feet from the Catholic Church. And he said, when he started to talk, and it was about the idols and people need to turn to Jesus and repent and just trust him for everything, you know, to only go to him. And he said, people just started pouring in, and he never saw so many people. And 23 people came up. They were women and children and all ages, the elderly, and they were crying and they were repenting and saying, I want Jesus, in Spanish, of course. But he said, when I called him and talked to him, there was so much joy in his heart. And he said, we're not promised tomorrow. Do it now. We're not promised tomorrow. That earthquake, you know, just do it now and be saved and you know, get life. You know,
amen.
Don't just trust Jesus. And it was just wonderful.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. 23 people got saved. That's what it's all about.
I said, thank you for preaching about the rapture. You don't hear preachers preaching about it anymore.
They better be. We need souls. We need people to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wow, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who are just waiting, for those of you that don't know, some of you don't know, I know we don't talk about it much anymore, but my granddaughter, the one that was miraculously healed, 15, 16 years ago, just happened to be sitting up here on the front row today. She's here, so praise the Lord. Yeah, when they said it's impossible for her to live 16 years ago, I stood on God's word, and wow, she's beautiful. She can run and play, praise the Lord. So this weekend they've been out riding their horses. Her and Janessa, they're having a good time together. For two little girls, I happen to think, both of them, Janessa was never going to walk again, Caitlin was never going to live again, and today, because of God's power, both of them, two beautiful young ladies. Wow, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you're God and that you're in control and you know what's going on everywhere. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children, and help us to be better children this week and tell more people about you. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for letting us be your children. Thank you, Lord. Now bless the healing school next week and bring the people that need to be healed and then heal them. We thank you, Lord, because you are the deliverer, you're the healer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.